Hello, everyone. My name is Deborah Rue, and this is Human Potential at Work. Today, I am joining from my son's home office. So he has always interesting pictures on the back of the wall. I am the CEO of Rue Global, and Rue Global, we are market influencers, brand ambassadors, and strategists for the community of people with disabilities and the baby boomer market. So today I have a friend that has been a friend of mine for many, many years, and I've watched her work. When she first came in this field, I met her, and I was really impressed with what she wanted to accomplish, and she's actually exceeded all of her expectations. So today, my guest is Lori Golden with Ernst & Young. Welcome to the program, Lori.
Thank you, Deborah. It's such a treat, and especially to be talking about these topics that I know are so important to both of us.
Yeah, I agree. And Ernst & Young has really been a leader, a global leader in this space for many, many years. I know both of us served on the board of the USBLN, now called Disability:IN, great organization. And we have been part of so many things together. So it's really exciting to have you on the program and talking about a topic that I think is really, really important to the audience and to the world, which is mental health in the workplace. How do we really help make sure that we do, you know, we do the right thing by our employees, but we also do the right thing by ourselves, our coworkers. It's a really big topic, and I know Ernst & Young has been a leader with it. So before we go in that direction, though, Lori, tell us more about who you are, and then also why you're in this industry and why you're with Ernst & Young.
Oh, that's a lot. Okay, Deborah. So I'm Ernst & Young's ability strategy leader. And what that means is I have the real privilege of spending my days thinking about how we create a culture that is and feels inclusive of people of all abilities. And we're quick to say what we mean by that is physical, cognitive, intellectual, and socio-emotional, meaning mental health abilities, and how we create an environment that enables the terrifically talented people we bring in of all abilities to really be their best, do their best work, and feel the best that they can. In terms of how I came to this, it's kind of interesting to note that I didn't come to this almost on purpose. I didn't come to this on purpose. I was tapped by a very forward-thinking leader who had a brother with intellectual and physical disabilities, who asked if I would lead a project to look at whether people with disabilities were an under-leveraged talent pool. Specifically for infrastructure kinds of jobs, the jobs that kind of run our organization at EY. And I said, gosh, I don't know anything about this. This seems an odd fit. And what I found out very quickly is, A, I was one and very much am still one of those 70% of people with disabilities who have non-visible disabilities, many of whom don't think of themselves as people having disabilities. So I was part of this population and never really thought about it. Two is I have two kids, both with learning disabilities and now one with mental health disabilities as well. I connected in all kinds of ways, and I didn't realize it. The other thing I found out quickly is that we had lots of people with disabilities at EY. The majority were not in infrastructure jobs. That was a myth. And that there was a lot of room for opportunity in really improving our culture and our environment. It's not that we had issues. We didn't have any problems that we recognized, but we saw real opportunities to do more. And in the process of doing more, because we got in early, this was about 11 years ago, as you know, to share what we were doing and what we were learning with others so that others could get better. That's Disabilities In mission for us all to grow together and get better at this. And that became our watchword from the start. So I am, as you know, really passionate about recognizing that we all have various abilities. We don't look at disabilities as a binary of air quotes disabled versus typical typically abled, but we look at things as more of a continuum where disability is something that impacts all of us, whether on an ongoing basis like me and my kids, or intermittently, or point in time, but it's part of the human experience. And our goal as organizations and our goal as societies should be looking to leverage the abilities of all people so that all people can fully participate in and contribute to making our organizations and making our world a better place. And the other side of it is it's frankly too costly not to do that.
And as you said, there's so many people that have disabilities that might not self-identify and often will not self-identify because I'm not going to say something in the workforce that, or certainly when I'm interviewing with a corporation, that I perceive might hurt my chances of being hired, promoted, retained. I mean, I'm going to have some self-preservation there. And the mental health aspect of this, and I battle sometimes, it feels like a battle, depression, ADHD. So I think that it's also both of those are a gift in my life, and they've helped me become a more empathetic human being. And of course, I have a daughter with a disability, and my husband, who did not have a disability, now has a very serious progressive disability that he is walking, you know. I don't want to say battling with that either, because you can battle with some of this stuff, but I think sometimes for us, it seems to make things worse. So I think these are very, very important topics, because we ask employees, whether you're looking at this from working for yourself in the gig economy, or whether I'm working for a corporation or small business or NGO or organization, we live our lives while we work for these entities or for ourselves. And our lives are a journey. And sometimes, which I just went through this journey with my daughter. My daughter, Sarah, as many know, she was very, very, very deathly ill. And it was so intense that it was really hard for me to focus on work, you know, as much time as I usually did, because I was in a crisis situation. And so employees walk this all the time. And you have a corporation like Ernst & Young. And one thing, maybe you could tell the audience, I know Ernst & Young is very global. I would be interested how many countries you're in, and also how many employees approximately does Ernst & Young have? Because one thing that I noticed about Lori when we met 11 years ago was that you were so open to wanting to learn, but also to share. And I remember when you were talking to me about, oh, we want to do this and we'll share this. And I was a little surprised and maybe even a little skeptical, because a lot of us were talking about sharing, but we weren't seeing as much sharing going on. And I think that you came on the scene very open and willing to share, and then you've been very consistent about sharing. And I think that a lot of others learned from that attitude, and I think that we're better at what we're doing as an industry because of people like you. So I want to thank you for having that attitude. But tell us more about Ernst & Young. I'm sure most people know about Ernst & Young, but how many countries are you in? Obviously, you're in the United States. And how many employees approximately do y'all have? I mean, just to understand the numbers.
Sure. You know, I lose track because it grows so quickly, but we have about 250,000 people globally in around 90 countries. Wow. And we pride ourselves on being, and it sounds trite, but kind of when I share specifics, you know, I think you'll see it's quite authentic. A really people-oriented organization. Our people are our only asset, of course. We're in a knowledge business and a service business. We provide intellectual services.
Right.
And that means we really need to do everything possible to give our people an environment in which they can feel comfortable and feel able to perform at their best. And we work in teams. And that means our relationships with one another are absolutely critical to what we're doing. And we realize that if one person on a team is struggling, and we know that, you know, at any given points in time, one in four of us is impacted by mental health issues. So if one person is struggling, the entire team is impacted,
right,
both personally and professionally in terms of our work product. So it's absolutely critical for our business that we do everything to create a place where people can feel healthy and people can support one another. So we really began focusing on this in many ways years ago, but in the last few years, there's one specific effort that we launched that we've been sharing quite a bit with others called We Care, that kind of really puts all of this together.
And Lori, I want to really explore We Care, but before we do that,
Ernst &
Young has done so many things to make sure that your employees and you know your clients know about disability inclusion. You've done a lot. Do you mind just, I know this is going to be hard to do in a short amount of time, but maybe just talking a little bit about the programs that are in place, and then let's spend more time talking about the program you just mentioned.
Sure. So our strategy around what we call diverse abilities, which is the way we kind of frame out that this involves everybody, not just what sometimes, because of course most disabilities are non-visible, feels like a small group of people. We want to make clear to our people that really this involves all of us. So we've had an effort for a long, long time to make the issue of disability more visible for all our people through words, images, how we talk about ourselves, how we depict ourselves to EY and to our clients and to the marketplace. We, many years ago, recognized that there weren't enough, and this has improved considerably in the last few years, but there weren't enough really good authentic images of people with disabilities. So we took our own and we developed a photo library of images of our own people with various kinds, not just the person in the wheelchair, but women who are pregnant, which is, of course, a temporary disability legally. And people who were on crutches and people who had, as I did once, a brace for carpal tunnel. We took photos of our own people in teaming settings, and we developed guidelines which we communicated to our entire creative community that those photos should be integrated in all our materials, in all our sites, in every kind of visual depiction of who we are as a firm. At the same time, we very proactively looked for ways to tell stories about disability, whether it was our former chairman, Steve Howe, who told the story repeatedly of how his father had disabilities and what that meant to him. And when he realized that he viewed his father just as a dad, and the rest of the world saw him as somebody who had, as Steve put it, a big shoe, somebody who had an apparent disability, and mentions of all abilities in leader messages, in our communications. We sought to put people who were open about having non-visible disabilities or people who had apparent disabilities on panels and out in front as role models for our people in as many settings as possible. So storytelling, words, images was one area of focus. Another huge area of focus, as it is for all companies, but we took a little different approach, is education. And instead of just focusing on training as a distinct point in time event, we developed a lot of tools and resources. That's probably what you're thinking of when you say we share. We probably have 16 or 18 different tools that we have out on our public site. We developed for our people, but we put on our public site to share with everybody. And we look for ways to integrate them organically into our processes and our programs and our trainings. So for example, we developed some protocols for how to lead meetings or participate in meetings that are more inclusive of people of all abilities. And when we launched our We Care program, which we'll talk about, we made it a requirement that all the in-person events that we hold for our We Care program are remote captioned, so we demonstrate accessibility, and that the leader who opens up those programs really reviews protocols that will follow during the course of the hour and a half meeting. Protocols like always use the mic, because, and pointing out that one in five people are hard of hearing, the captioning point, not just doing it, but pointing out that captioning helps not only people who may be hard of hearing or deaf, but people who may be non-native speakers of the language, people who have attentional issues, people who are distracted by ambient noise, or maybe in very quiet places where they can't turn up the volume. So looking for opportunities to model and to integrate. Now, we do provide training. We have mandatory inclusive leadership training for all our people who manage people, all our people at a manager level and above. And disability examples and cases are woven in to that inclusive leadership training, but we look to do more. So our philosophy of education is to constantly remind people of ways that they can be more inclusive in ways that are really integrated with activities or events or programs they're already involved in. So that's education. Another piece is, of course, what we've referred to as creating an enabling environment, and part of that is accessibility across the board, and that's a continuing journey. We're not as good as we want to be. We're working on it, but it's ensuring that our physical environment, our processes, and our digital tools and resources are usable comfortably and efficiently by people of all abilities. And of course, accommodations comes up under that. And then the final bucket, and companies are beginning to focus on this more, but it used to drive me crazy. And I know you too, Deborah, we've talked about this, when employers talked about retention of people with disabilities. And we would say, no, it's not a question of retention. It's a question of enabling success, advancement, and growth. It's not enough to keep people.
Right.
It's strategically focusing on how you can help people develop to advance their careers to wherever they want to go. So we have a whole set of initiatives focused on helping people grow and advance.
And as you see all those pieces that Ernst & Young has done, now keep in mind they have 250,000 employees and they're in 90 plus countries. So when we work with very large multinational brands, sometimes the first question is, where do we even begin? And that is why, you know, organizations like Ernst & Young that has already shared, they're sharing what they've already done. And then you have groups like, once again, we've mentioned Disability:IN, the ILO has the Global Business Disability right. Network. I mean, there's so many ways, Business Disability Forum, Valuable. There's some really amazing groups and corporate brands like Ernst & Young that are out there to help certainly corporations begin and continue. And as Lori made another important point, accessibility, for example, she said, well, you know, we've worked on it, we've done this, we're trying, we're not perfect. The reason why they're not perfect is because nobody's perfect. It is technology is moving so fast. It continues to double and just stresses out. No, it's wonderful. Technology is wonderful. But it changes so fast. So making sure things are always accessible to every single other technology that it's going to engage with, that is an opportunity. And so at some point, you just have to have process. You have to work the processes. But perfect, we don't know what perfect looks like. So we just don't. But I applaud the efforts that you're making to stay on top of it. Do your best. And it doesn't happen just with Lori Golden. She has an entire team around her. There are 250,000 people working at Ernst & Young. It's something that is really part of the DNA of Ernst & Young. They really care about it. And we need more brands to really embrace it. Once again, nobody's perfect, but it is a work in progress. So Lori, let's talk a little bit more about this program that is
sure.
with mental health issues, which we all have. It's a journey, this life. It's a journey, ups and downs.
Yeah. Actually, We Care came out of our Accessibilities Network, which is what many companies call an employee resource group. We call our professional network. In the Americas, we have other networks around the world in our various areas that focus on disabilities. And we recognized that there was a need to equip colleagues to support colleagues. We had a lot of tools and resources, fantastic benefits, information, and resources that the firm provides to people who are struggling and families who are struggling. But beyond what the firm provides, we felt that our people needed to play a really important role in this. And the topic of mental illness, and you know, as you know, certainly in the Americas, the opioid crisis, and around the world, substance abuse and addiction are huge issues, very connected to mental illness. There's a lot of overlap there. And we felt a need to equip our people to support our people. And it's such a sensitive topic that many organizations are a little bit scared, and rightly so, of how to approach this. And so what we did is develop a framework that is based on storytelling, telling real stories of EY people who are impacted by their own or friends or family members or colleagues' mental health issues or substance misuse or addiction. And based on laying out a really, really simple four-step process for how colleagues can key in to signals that somebody they know may be struggling, and then how to have a conversation that doesn't diagnose, doesn't problem solve, but nevertheless is really helpful because we're demonstrating to our people that we see one another, we notice one another, we care, and that's, of course, the umbrella for this whole initiative. We care enough to ask a difficult question. And the question is, are you okay? Is there anything going on? And then to listen to one another. And what we educate our people in is how to listen, what to say and not to say, and a real clear and very easy framework for that. So it's not so scary for our people. And then where to refer. As I mentioned, we have a lot of fantastic resources, and our communities often have fantastic resources. So we want to be able to share with our colleagues where they could go or where they could point friends or family members to go for help, whether it's internally within our firm or it's within the community or elsewhere. So We Care has three aspects. There's, of course, education. That's always critical. There is awareness and general visibility. And there's what we think of as engagement. And I think the engagement piece is really, really important. And that's what I think is most unique about our program. So the education piece, we created online training. It's customized just for EY, so it reflects our culture and our language to teach people about what mental illness and addiction and substance misuse are and are not. For example, most people don't realize that substance misuse and addiction are forms of mental illness. They are not character flaws or failings, but they are illnesses and can and should be treated that way with the same compassion and seriousness that we bring to any other forms of mental illness. The second piece of this is awareness and visibility. So there are all kinds of messages from firm leaders, and we use banners and posters and articles and our firm's daily online newsletter. We even have quizzes because people love to test their knowledge and understanding. So we make this more evident to people in a lot of different ways. But the piece that I'm most proud of is what we call our learning events. We have developed 90-minute events that take place in our offices. They are always hosted by the highest level leader in that office, which is a way of modeling on a ground level, because those leaders in that office are who people see every day as opposed to our high-level executives, who they may see on webcast, but they're not seeing daily in and out. And that we required that our leaders actually start out the event by telling a personal story. Doesn't have to be about themselves. They don't have to say that they have struggled with X, Y, or Z. It could be about a family member, a colleague, anything. But we want to personalize it, and we want our leaders to be models for that. So the first piece is personalizing. And in addition to our leaders telling stories, we play videos of our own people telling real stories. We have people at all different ranks, at all different functions, and in all different places telling real stories of how mental illness or addiction or substance misuse have impacted them. And that way our people can relate. And then the middle part of the program is the how-to. That's the four-part process which we've developed, which is notice, how to recognize signs that somebody may be struggling, listen, ask, and then act. So ask is having the conversation, saying, are you okay? Is there anything going on I can help with? Listen is how to sit and empathically listen and show you care just by taking that time. And by taking what feels like a little bit of risk to ask a difficult question. And then ACT is that refer piece. We educate our people. This is confidential. You're not going to share what you learned with anybody else unless somebody is in immediate danger or an immediate danger to others. But share your knowledge about what resources and tools are available in the community or within the firm, and we educate our people on that. So that's the centerpiece of the program, and that's a facilitated discussion. We have a video that is really quick. The video was made with our people speaking to our people, so it feels very authentic. We don't have models or actors, or we have members of our abilities network sharing this four-point process in a very, very simple way. And then we have our talent people, HR leaders in the office, facilitating a discussion with people in the audience so that they can relate and ask questions and begin to really process. And then the final part of the program is a really deep dive into the resources and tools, so our people come away with a better understanding of the counseling benefits that we offer to our people 24 hours a day, every day of the week, and to their family members, and come away with an understanding of what's available in the community. So we partner with community organizations and bring them in to talk about classes, support groups, events, resources that are available in the community itself. So people have choices. They can look within the firm, they can look outside the firm, they can use both. So we hope that people come away from these 90-minute events with a better understanding of how they can help one another through noticing, having a meaningful conversation, and referring people to resources, and also have a sense that this impacts so many of us.
Right.
This is something that most of us share.
Right. And so it sounds to me like Ernst & Young obviously is a business, and that you're trying to humanize, you know, these issues. You know, we are all humans. I know that I've had a career in banking. I've been at executive levels. I've been an entrepreneur for years. But my mother had borderline personality disorder, and she really, really, really struggled in her life. And mental illness runs in my family. And but sometimes I just think it's part of being a human being. And so the skills that it took me to really be there for my mother made me a stronger, more empathetic person. But I also have to, I remember when my daughter went in the hospital, a couple of days after she went in, and I'm so optimistic. It's like, oh, we're going to be out tomorrow. We weren't out in one day. But one of the the advocates for the hospital, she stopped by my room and she said, be sure to take care of yourself. Remember, take care. And I'm thinking, I got this. Okay. Now you go in for months later.
Yes.
And I saw her the other day at the hospital. I stopped by to thank them again for saving my daughter's life. And I was saying, I remember you saying that comment to me. She's like, well, people forget to yes. take care of themselves. And if maybe you're, you know, like my mother, you were born with this borderline personality disorder. And my poor mother, she struggled her whole life, but she worked, you know, she worked for AT&T her whole life and she got wonderful performance reviews, but she struggled with this. And so for Ernst and Young to be brave enough to recognize that, you know, part of being a human being is that sometimes we have mental illness and mental health issues temporarily, something we're dealing with all the time. I think that's, it feels brave to me, but at the same time, I understand that this is very smart of Ernst & Young to care about your employees so your employees can take care of themselves and do the right thing by the company. So it seems very symbiotic at the same time. So I was wondering if you could maybe just talk about the human part of this business situation.
Yeah, you are so right, Deborah. It's critical, not only for us being a knowledge enterprise that delivers its services in teams, but for all businesses and really all organizations today. The past U.S. Surgeon General, Vivek Murthy, wrote about, and I think he was really forward thinking in this, that loneliness is the biggest health issue that societies face today. And it's no secret that a lot of what drives the most suffering in mental illness obviously has a genetic component, but a lot of what drives the real suffering and struggle, and the same with substance misuse and addiction, is a feeling of being disconnected. And in the workplace, in particular, more of us, you and me, great examples, are working remotely. Right. We're using technology increasingly, and we are not seeing people in person day to day and developing the organic kinds of connections that for centuries sustained all of us. And that's a real shock. And in order for organizations to be high performing, obviously their people have to be high performing. And their people have to feel like they're whole. And if the whole person isn't recognized, and if we're not dealing with one another as whole human beings, that's dangerous. That leads to all these kinds of negative things, which really impact our performance. So the We Care program is fantastic, and we're building that out. We're moving forward, going to be focusing more on teaching our people emotional self-management and building resilience. And, you know, kind of that's the next stage. But it's not isolated. This is part of a way in which we are encouraging our people to know one another at a deeper level. So on December 7th, many companies, and ours was one, honored what we called the Day of Understanding, a day when we encouraged at EY our people to ask real questions of one another across differences to better understand where people are coming from and what makes them tick. And there were webcasts and there were learning guides. And it was very much in the field. Tools were developed from the center, but it was very much on the ground, left to our people to implement in whatever ways felt natural to them. In the same way, our We Care program has live events, and we've had events in about 26 different offices in the U.S. and Canada. We've had about 1,300 people, and we're a billable hours culture, so we bill for our time. So if people are spending 90 minutes and they're not getting continuing education credits of their time in person in something, that's really meaningful to them. And we are bringing people together in live settings so that they can connect and tell their stories to one another, and eyeball to eyeball. And that leads to all kinds of deeper connections. We, for International Day of Persons with Disabilities, we created something that we call the EY Family Album that we're really, really proud of. We asked our people to send in photos of their loved ones, anybody they care deeply about, friend, family member, who have visible or non-visible disabilities, and to send in the photo with just the first name of the person, and then to fill in the answer to this question: what I love most about him, her, them. And we took that as a learning opportunity to educate people that them is a pronoun that is often used for people who are regard themselves as non-binary. And so we look for learning opportunities at any moment. And then we published this in an online album to demonstrate to our people that we have many, many different and positive connections to disability. And that this could be a tool. It was anonymous. We did not want to call people out, but we wanted to give people an opportunity, and I myself have used this, to connect more deeply with their colleagues by saying, hey, you've heard me talk about my son many times, and he is in this picture. Here he is. And to share to share something of yourself, but we left it up to individuals. So it wouldn't feel forced. And there are many, many different ways that we talk a lot about belonging at the firm, and have whole toolkits for how on a team to foster a better sense of belonging. Accessibilities right now is working with one of our engagement teams, those are teams that serve our clients, to pilot a teaming tool that we're tentatively calling Bringing My Best. And it's a quick survey to help one another get to know each other better around how we work best. Do we prefer high context information or just the facts, just the basic points? What are the modes of communication we prefer? Do we prefer to work in bustling settings or very quiet settings? What kinds of tools do we need to work most effectively? What kind of help do we need from our colleagues? So I'm not very technically literate, so I'll say right off, people need to help me with technology, but what can I help them with? And so lay out what I think I'm adept at that I can help others with. And it's not just to learn those basic facts, but to use this as a discussion tool so that people can share a little bit more of themselves, and they can even get to a point where they say, you know, I get really stressed when fill in the blank. And you
so
can
they learn about themselves.
And share it in a team.
Absolutely.
So in we can, an organic way.
I agree. Well, Lori, I know that we're out of time, but before we go, I want you to tell our viewers how they can, what the URL site is and what some of the, I know you're on social media and you also are going to join Doug Foresta, my producer who has his own new talk show starting Mind Talk. So you'll hear, you will get to hear from Lori again. And we'll, you know, there's a lot to talk about. So,
yes.
But tell the audience, and I applaud your efforts, but tell the audience how they can find out what Ernst & Young is doing with your website and on social media.
Thank you. The best way, I think the most comprehensive way to get a look at some of the tools and resources we've developed and get a feel for our overall approach to abilities issues is to go to ey.com/abilities. And there you'll see some videos. You'll see a lot of different tools and resources, including the core video that we use in our We Care sessions, the how-to video, which goes through this four-step process. And a key part of what we do, as you know, Deborah, is we not only share, but we share with the understanding that we want people to beg, borrow, and steal. The reason we're sharing is we want people to use what we've developed and to benefit from the lessons we've learned. So All we ask is that if you're using our materials, you say, thanks to EY.
Yes.
Any way you want to use our content, we're thrilled to have you do that. And we hope that as we all get better on this, all of you listening will share what you're doing and we can all learn from one another.
Well said, Lori. Well said. Well, thank you so much for listening to the show today. Lori Golden's amazing. Thanks to Doug Foresta, my producer behind the scenes. And we will continue this conversation. So thank you, everyone. And thank you, Lori.
Thank you, Deborah. It's a pleasure.